Welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, your guide to better cricket, no matter who you are and no matter where you are. We're here to help you out for a little while. And who are we? Well, my name is David Hinchliffe. I look after things here, and helping me to help you back to the full complement are two very fine cricket coaches. The first of which is the director of cricket at Millfield School. It's Mark Garraway. A few technical issues, Garraway, but we're here at last.
Plenty of technical issues, but we're back on the road.
Yeah, hopefully this will go according to plan, and people will never know of the desperate attempts we had to get in touch with you before the show started. Secondly, it's the head of cricket performance at Portsmouth Grammar School. It's Sam Lavery. Hello, Lavers. How's it going?
Very well, thank you. Surprisingly, no technical issues at my end today, which seems to be going quite well. So, fingers crossed, we last the duration.
Yeah, let's find out. The tension is unbearable. Let's answer some questions now. Questions that have been sent into the show by listeners, or perhaps by readers to Pitch Vision Academy over at pitchvision.com. And the way this works is we pick the best questions of the week, then we answer them, and then the best one of those two questions wins a prize of an online coaching course from Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And we'll tell you about that towards the end of the show. And if you want to get in touch with us for future shows, you can email a coach at pitchvision.com. That's coach at pitchvision.com. Ikram's done that. He's got in touch with us through Facebook, which we'll tell you about towards the end of the show. And Ikram has said, what should be the daily routine of a fast bowler? In a week, I do 2 or 3 days of net practice. A huge question, but can we sort of summarise? Is there a good way to summarise this?
Well, I think it also, if we say that every week you're having 2 or 3 net practices, it would also be interesting to see how many times you're playing. And often that number varies, doesn't it? Between one game on a Saturday, you might have a midweek game, you might have a cup match one evening, you know, wherever you are in the world, that it can change week on week. So if that's the case, is there a daily routine? I think in competition time, there probably isn't. You know, unless you've got that consistent Saturday fixture with a Tuesday and Thursday and maybe a Friday night practice, then, you know, there isn't really a daily routine. My advice would be is try to have a look at how many times you're bowling. Don't try and bowl more than 4 times in a week, because we know from research that if we start bowling more than 4 times a week and backing that up week on week, then we're probably going to make ourselves vulnerable to injury. Try not to bowl more than 2 days on the trot, on the bounce, because that third day, again, the body won't have time to recover, and we need to give the body time to recover before we bowl again, really. So that's the workload element of it. But what can you be doing on a day-to-day basis? You know, I'm no expert, but doing some mobility work, doing some strength work, doing some core work, and working that through a week rather than doing the same thing every single day, it is really valuable, because it will give your body the best chance of being able to stay injury free and also be able to perform on a game day. But you know, workload management's important. Having the ability to be flexible, to be mobile, to be strong, particularly through the legs and in the core, is vitally important for a fast bowler. So if you can work those things into a weekly program rather than looking at a daily program, then you'll be giving yourself the best chance of success.
Lavers, do you have a systematic approach to handling fast bowlers and getting the best from them across the course of a year?
Yes. Well, I have something that I'd like to do week to week, and this is then going to depend on the bowler you're working with. And as with anything, we're going to have a framework, and then we're going to adapt it to the individual. Based on how much cricket they're playing, what kind of condition they're in, what sort of stage they are in their own physical development. Are they playing a... are we periodising to a full season, as in playing 3, 4, 5 days a week as a professional cricketer, or are we doing what Gareth has alluded to there, where we're building up to a Saturday and maybe play the odd game in and around it, but it's largely a Sunday recovery, Monday building up to Saturday, and then Sunday recovery? Is it that kind of thing? So largely what we'll have at school is with our guys is a build up to that Saturday, and then there'll be the occasional Wednesday match, and there'll be the occasional cup match in there, but we'll have a basic framework for a preparation to build up to the weekend. And that method will generally be strength work done early in the week, and we're then gradually going from strength to power throughout the week. So by the time, as the week goes on, we move away from the weight stuff, we get more into the med ball stuff, and then we get into the weighted ball stuff. So that is how the week would go in terms of the physical development, from the slower movements and the more strength-based movements, graduating towards the faster, more power, speed development movements towards the end of the week. Exactly the same in terms of Gara's, in terms of the workload. We're not wanting to bowl more than four times in a week, more than two times in 2 days in a row. Same principles again. Think about where your match day is, and you're trying to build your way around that. So that's kind of how our week would pan out. However, saying that, you've got to be aware of all the other variables that come into play. And people have jobs, people go to school, people have other activities they're involved in. So that is a basic framework, but it's going to be adapted for everyone's individual needs. And if you're in a position where your sole focus is getting this done, and you have all the time and all the resources available to just work on that, then you can be really specific. And if you, well, we can talk about how specific you want to get. If you want to drop us an email, and we can discuss that. However, for most people, there are obstacles in the way, although there are restrictions, and it's trying to make the best of the time we have around those obstacles and restrictions as we can. The other thing we're trying to get, Gareth mentioned mobility, that ideally would be part of your everyday routine. So there'd be an everyday mobility, and it's not going to be an hour session. It might be 5 minutes that you spend on mobility every day. And then beyond that, you can look at your nutritional requirements that you're going to have again through the week. I remember Stefan Jones does a really detailed, very, very, very specific nutritional kind of breakdown. I'm not so much sure about how much he does it through the week, but I've definitely read something that he's done about that 24 hours leading up to performance, and then that time through performance as well, in terms of what you're eating, what you're drinking, what you need to get on board into your body, etc. So that kind of thing's quite a good read as well. So there are a few angles you need to approach and consider throughout the week. But once you've got your head around them and you can plan them into your week individually, then hopefully you'll find the performances on the weekend are going to be to the standard that you'd want.
I think the key thing, Sam, is that little things make a big difference over a long period of time, don't they? So, you know, maybe looking at doing some mobility work for 10 minutes every day will start to have an effect. And I remember back to when Peter Moores had his first go with the England cricket team back in 2007. He brought a concept called prehabilitation into our fast bowling group, and that basically was doing some little exercises specific to each individual person before you start the warm-up in the morning, before the day's play. And it was 5 minutes. And what was interesting for me, because initially I looked at it and thought, you know, what is this all this about? Because it was fairly new to cricket. But what was noticeable that over the course of that first season that he was in charge is that the bowlers were able to maintain their paces for longer in their spells, but more importantly to me, were able to start at their top pace when they came back for their third spell later in the day in a test match. And there was a direct correlation to be doing this little 5 minutes bit of work in the morning before you do your warm-up to that pace being hit straight away, as opposed to somebody like Ryan Sidebottom, who would traditionally take, you know, three or four overs to get himself up to match pace. Well, that third spell often isn't more than three or four overs. So by the time you get to your top match pace, that's the time that you come off from bowling. And we really needed him to hit the ground running straight away in that third spell, particularly if he was then taking the second new ball at that stage. And those 5 minutes that he did every single day over a period of 2 or 3 months started to pay real dividends with his match pace. So it can be little things that make massive differences over a long period of time, and that's the exciting thing for me, because there's nothing worse than adding an extra hour here and there into your program, because you're probably not going to maintain that from a motivational point of view. But 5 minutes, 10 minutes here and there, you're more likely to keep doing over a week and a month and a year.
Yeah, if you're talking daily stuff, which was back to the original question, if you're talking daily stuff, I guess it is those four things, which is, you know, eat, drink, sleep, and move. And if you get those things right daily, then you're on a good track anyway. And then you can fit your actual cricket training around those core pillars. But it's being sort of aware that cricket doesn't start and end when you do cricket training. If you want to get the best from yourself, you've got to be always have it in your mind that there's something every day you're doing to improve. And even if it's something as simple as, you know, I'm making sure I'm getting the right amount of sleep that I need and the right amount of fluids in that I need, even if today is a day when I do zero cricket, then that's going to make a difference to you in the long run.
We've all seen the talented cricketers, haven't we, who could have done this and could have done that, but the lifestyle management that's required to play professional cricket or play cricket to a high standard these days is vital to that ongoing consistent performance, and it's something that is just as important for long-term success as your technical ability or physical power or strength or speed or whatever it might be. You've got to be able to manage your own body and manage your lifestyle as well as managing all the cricket specific things, which often take on people's focus a little bit more than others.
Next question is from Kumar, and it seems like a basic question, but I think it's an interesting one to talk about. Kumar says, what is the gather in the bowling action, and how do I take a sufficient load up position in my bowling action?
Yeah, well, the gather for me is where we are getting ourselves ready to unwind the body to propel the ball. So really, you're storing up energy, aren't you? As you jump in the air, your arms come up, and you sort of, it's not a holding position, but you're storing your energy. So when your back foot hits the ground and then you go into front foot contact, those arms can then stretch out and then come round at last minute and whip the ball over. So the gather position is crucial. And what a lot of people do is they get into their gather slightly too early in their journey. So the bowling arm, as the front foot lands, is already coming up over towards sort 12 o'clock where they're going to release the ball. So the later you can, if you can control your gather, then you will end up having a slightly later, particularly for fast bowlers, you have a slightly later delayed arm, which obviously is really good from a pace production point of view. So the gather really is the arms for me. It's the arm storing energy ready for that front foot hit the ground and then for everything to unleash hell on the back of the ball. And it's exactly the same when you are throwing as well, because you get into a gather position post pickup, and if you can imagine a thrower picking the ball up and then they would pull their hands in towards their body, and that's the gather position, which will delay everything and allow the arm to come through at the last moment with lots of velocity behind the ball.
And that gather, Lavers, that is something that it's almost like it's a bit of an old-fashioned term, isn't it, gather, but it's still something which is crucial.
Oh yeah, it probably does come more under the term of that load up, doesn't it? And people thinking about loading the ball, loading their body position, loading their muscles and their body with that energy that's then going to unwind. And I'm generally thinking about how we're then going to leave that gather or that load up position. Are we in a position that allows us to unwind, which is quite a nice word that Gary's used before? Can we unwind in a straight line, and can we unwind with the synchronization that's going to allow us to generate the speed we want? And Gary's has talked about the synchronization there, of making sure that we have that synchronization between front arm and bowling arm, and then we also have synchronization between upper body and lower body, so that our movements in terms of contact with the ground, as well as synchronizing our arms together, is going to generate maximum speed. Similarly, we want to try and make sure as much as possible that our alignment is going to take us in the direction so that the energy we're producing and the effort we're putting in is going towards the target or in the direction we want to project the ball initially. And while we can get very detailed about this and try and be really specific in terms of minute variations, and maybe when we're building that action, if we're able to, we want to be as accurate as we can, but we're also aware that there are lots of people around the world who will gather or load up in a particular position, and they won't necessarily unwind in the ideal fashion. It might be that their arms go slightly different directions. However, Stuart Broad, as an example, there, he went through a long phase where he loses his front arm to the offside. However, because of the manner that some people bowling, and they're maybe more dominant with one side of the body than the other, they can afford to have a small loss of energy in one direction because of the amount that they're contributing still in a straight line towards a target. So, how you enter that load up is going to have a big position, a big impact, so on the position you're in when you're there, and then how you unwind from that and how you leave it is going to have an enormous impact on how you then project the ball forwards, which hopefully will be with speed and hopefully will be with control.
I'd be interesting to find out what's the sort of motivation behind Kumar asking that specific question. I wonder if someone's been talking to him about it and has made a point of pointing something out which would help his bowling if he made a change or looked to do something slightly different, or whether it's just a general question, because it's interesting that he's pinned down that one specific thing. But without any sort of follow-ups, it's hard to know exactly what was the motivation behind that question. But I'd like to know that. So, you know, Kumar, if you can get back to us and let us know what made you think specifically of the gather. Is there something in there that somebody's told you, or something that you've seen somewhere that's made you think that maybe you can make an improvement? Because, you know, bowling action is, you can break it down into component parts, but it is a series of connected movements, isn't it? And we mustn't forget that. If you do break down one part, you have to remember, you have to integrate it back into the whole thing again. Otherwise, you're wasting your time, really, aren't you?
Absolutely. I think some people look at the gather, there are different ways of gathering in terms of how we use his arms. I think for a lot of people, they think of the gather as both arms rising together but for a lot of people, actually, arms work very separately, and the gather with the right arm and the timing of the movements with that is very different to then movement of the left one, which would come at a different time. And you think about some spinners, probably particularly off spinners, you get a lot of off spinners who will gather with both arms at the same time, whereas wrist spinners invariably will go drive right arm, then drop, and then drive left arm. So again, within the gather, there are different ways that it can happen and different ways of timing for both arms and different ways they can synchronise, as long as, a bit like batting we've talked about previously, but as long as in the way that what we can produce is something that's going to be effective and something that's going to be repeatable. And people are going to have things that they prefer the feel of, and their body allows them to move in a certain way more powerfully or more repeatably. So we can have this framework, but we've got to try and adapt it to individuals, because we're all different shapes and sizes and we've all got different strengths and weaknesses.
I think that's a really good point, Sam, that, you know, the gather isn't just the two arms going together. And the way you describe the difference often between finger spinners and a leg spinner is, you know, was spot on. And so it isn't always a conventional thing, and it can be looked slightly different or a bit lopsided. But again, it comes back to that outcome, doesn't it? You know, if a leg spinner's landing on a length and spinning it square with whatever gather he's got, then, you know, let him go, really, to me. And the same for a fast bowler. If they're hitting the deck hard, hitting lengths that they want to be bowling hard, and they're doing it in a safe fashion, then again, you know, for me, it's a case of letting them go, really, rather than trying to stipulate that you do it like this. And going back to what you said, David, it does sound as if the term gather was thrown into a conversation around the bowlers, action, without any sort of descriptor of what that is. And I think as cricket coaches, we do that quite a lot, don't we? We just make an assumption that everybody understands our terminology and our and what we're saying, and often that isn't the case. So it's good to get back to basics, to be able to describe what you're talking about as well as just come out with a term.
And that is just about all we've got time for on the show this week. Before we leave, there's one more thing that we need to do, and that is decide on the winner of this week's competition. The two questions that are up for grabs are Ikram's question about the daily routine of a fast bowler and Kumar's question about the gather in fast bowling. So, fast bowling extravaganza, Gareth, which one did you prefer this week?
I'm going to go with Kumail's because I think it's good for us to talk and back descriptors rather than terms sometimes. So, yeah, Kumail wins this week.
Congratulations. And if someone else was listening and wanted to send in their question, Gareth, and also wanted to have their chance of winning the prize, how can they get in touch with the show?
They could give us a call on 0203 239 7543 or drop us an email on coach@pitchvision.com.
That is correct. There's several other ways you can get in touch with us. You can head over to pitchvision.com and message us there using the messaging system. Just do a search for Pitch Vision Academy and send us a message on there. Or if you want to use other social media, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy, and Twitter at pitchvisionacad. If you want to listen to this show every week, you can do so by finding your favorite podcast app, doing a search for Pitch Vision Academy and tapping on subscribe. And also there's extra ways to get bonus content if you head over to pitchvision.com and follow Pitch Vision Academy on pitchvision.com, then you'll get some bonus content from us as well. If you want to get the old shows, download them, stream them from the website, go all the way back to the beginning, then you can do that quite easily by going to pitchvision.com/academy and clicking on the podcast link for all the details. That's all for this week. We hope you listen next week. But until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Lavers.
Cheers, all.
Thanks, guys.